3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I want you to listen to the voice of our man as we welcome old Gravely Brownless.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Hey, g'day, Jim.
Oh!
What the hell is wrong with you two?
I feel good.
No, of course we feel good. Richard Marsden Studios here in South Melbourne and the main show in here and ready to go. And I'll tell you what, we've got a big, big guest.
Who?
Wayne Carey next.
Oh, the duck.
No, I can't wait to speak to the duck. He normally comes in here fresh out of the gym.
Yeah.
And happy with himself. Well, he's happy with himself anyway.
Anyway, Jim.
But certainly when he comes in here, because he's been, you know, curls.
Curls, I reckon. In the mirror.
Yeah, all of that.
Yep.
You know, deadlifts, all the stuff that only he can do. So he comes in here and he's, as I say, very comfortable.
Yep.
And then second half, Sam Groth.
Grothy.
Because the US Open underway, our girl backyard Barty had to squeak through.
Dropped the first set, but won in the end.
Won in the end. Brilliant. A bit of topics, Brownless. A bit of topics, Brayshaw. Oh, we got a nice helping of the rush hour for you. Hello to you, Willis.
Hey, g'day. I was going to say Duck. G'day, Jim. How are you? All right?
Yeah, no,
great to be with you again for our 10th year.
Just had a little bit of skin chopped out of my ear.
Oh, did you? What's wrong with you? Do you have some weird...
A cyst or something like that growing out of the bottom of the top of my ear, if that makes sense.
At the bottom of the top of his ear. Write that down, Rabsy. Yeah.
Well, no, that's
some weird injuries and weird things go
I'm
wrong with you.
I'm not arguing that point. No, I had to go to the doc and had it sliced out and stitched up.
Which makes you weird. G'day to the listeners and g'day to you, Rabs.
But hello to you, Bill.
Hey, g'day, Jim.
So you've had a bit of a kip and you've got your voice back.
8:30, I went to hit the fader last night.
You would have.
8:30.
Jeez, you would have ripped some out in there, too.
Oh. Well, the doona wasn't on the bed when I woke up.
It would have floated into the next room.
It was down, it was over in the gardens.
That would have been just horrendous.
8:30 and woke up, got out of bed at 9:30.
Oh, no.
That's a nice sleep,
Jim. Oh, that's a necessary sleep for
you. I'd hate to be sleeping next to me if someone was. Snoring.
That's probably why there wasn't
farting. It would have been terrible. Oh, wow, weird.
She's painting a good picture to the million family members. Well, there'd be ladies thinking, I might just take Bill. Actually,
no,
I won't.
No. But it happens in the bed, doesn't it, Jim? All that stuff.
Oh, of course it does, Bill.
When people
when you're on your own.
When you're on your own. But people don't like talking about that stuff. Because
what, farting in bed?
Yeah, and snoring.
Oh, snoring.
And snoring, Jim. Because it's not, I don't think you say that when you meet a lovely girl over the first lunch.
If I were you, I wouldn't, Bill.
No.
You need everything going for you.
I do. I do indeed. Jack Martin has informed the Gold Coast Suns he wants out.
Saw that.
He wants to come to Victoria. And guess who is leading the race?
A talented boy too, Jack Martin.
Six Victorian clubs.
Six are
interested. Jim, of course.
Yep.
Carlton. Now, Carlton, they're having a crack at him, Jack Martin.
Yep.
They're also having a crack at Tom Papley.
Also having a crack
and they want
at Canelio.
Stephen Canelio. Yep. So, gee, they're having a crack,
they
aren't they?
They're having a lash.
The Blue Baggers. The Dockers have ended the Stephen Hill trade talk by re-signing him for a two-year deal.
Yep.
I didn't know there was any trade talk with Stephen Hill. Certainly Brad, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
What about Tyson Goldsack?
The sack, our man.
He has called it quits.
Yes.
On his career. He's been a very, very fine player.
Premiership player.
165 games, but still around just in case. Might get a run. Probably not. No, all right, Rabsy's ruled him out.
Put a line through him.
Speaking of the Suns, Jim, they are closing in on signing Sean Burgoyne. To a 3-year deal.
No.
That'll be playing and coaching and all that,
It'd
Jim.
Have to be other elements.
Says Sam Edmund.
Right.
So good luck to him. Do you know who Brent Daniels is?
Yeah, the little wee man.
From the Giants.
Yes.
Well done, Jim. Is the round 23 rising star.
Oh.
He's the second smallest player in the comp. Do you know who the smallest is?
Yeah, a little helmet wearer.
Caleb.
Yep.
Daniel. So, well done to him. That's a good effort. Who wins the rising star off the top of your head?
Sam Walsh wins it easy.
Yeah, it does.
But I said this to you the other day. We might just ask the duck, actually. Good point, Bill. We'll ask the duck about who actually you would take.
Right,
that's a good question.
Hawthorn assistant Darren Glass. Will leave the club.
Oh.
And he's going back to the Eagles as list manager.
I see. Well, of course, Brady Rawlings has gone to North, so fair enough.
Speaking of North, they have delisted small forward Nathan Rovat.
I see.
He's gone, Jim, so we'll see what happens there. We'll ask Duck about Tex Walker because he said on Talking Footy he needs to look at himself in the mirror, just like Duck does.
Mm.
And Tom Brown
yes.
has said the AFL will give Gold Coast pick two as a priority pick.
No, that you can't won't happen, Tom Brown, that, Tom Brown.
Tom Brown
cannot happen.
Tom Brown said
no,
that, Jim.
That can't happen.
You see, I like this from Specsavers.
Can't happen, and the commission, it'll be shameful if they allow that to happen.
I'm with you, actually. As you said, let the first round go, and then you can do something.
Which they won't. My suspicion is they'll allow them to have priority access lower down in the first round.
Yeah.
But to give them one and two in this draft, where the top two players are so far ahead of everyone
spot
else,
on.
Would be a reprehensible way.
Reprehensible.
A bit reprehensible
yeah.
way of rewarding hideous mediocrity.
Hideous mediocrity.
Yeah, exactly. So don't allow it to happen.
Well done. No, well said. You're spot on there. Let the 18 go through and then. What about Specsavers? Have guaranteed number 11 batsman Jack Leach, left-hander who faced about 10 balls the other day, a lifetime supply of glasses for his heroic efforts on the match.
Heroic.
Heroic efforts. How good's that?
Lifetime.
He brought him out. Remember, he gave him a wipe, old four eyes?
Well,
lifetime, Jim.
Well, this is a country that awarded Paul Collingwood an MBE for averaging 5 in a series.
Paul Collingwood.
Yeah, remember when
they won
that 2005 incredible series and they all were given MBEs.
Yes.
Warnie had a field day. Oh. Every time he saw him from then on, how can they give you an MBE? Average 5.
And, the big fight this Saturday.
Pretty Boy.
Jeff Horn, who was on the breakfast show this morning, Jim, takes on Pretty Boy,
Sarafa,
who we're going for because he's a Victorian.
Came in here, good boy.
Exactly. And he can't wait for the fight. He reckons he's ready to go. So we'll watch that with interest this week.
So just letting us know that's on.
Yeah, that's on, Jim. That's
almost a week.
That's it. Well, let's. Oh, there he is.
Who?
Duck.
Where?
I told you he was fresh out of the gym, didn't I?
Look at him. He's a flog.
The duck is in the studio.
He comes in and fresh from the gym.
Oh, I know. And smells.
So he's been pumping.
Duck.
Iron, throwing the steel around. Have a look at him.
Well, the main man.
What if he got
Ewan? Ewan.
Yes.
You know, he's
a footy man.
Yeah, he's the new
boss.
He's the new boss here. And he doesn't know how to apply aftershave properly.
Righto.
So I thought I just thought I'd give him a little lesson.
Yes.
And I've overpowered the whole office out.
No. Well, I walk past him.
Stink the joint out.
10 people, girls, boys, all standing around. Duck, leading the pack.
I've stink the joint out. And I said, don't worry. It's a bit overpowering now. Don't get in the lift after me.
Yeah.
But by 9 or 10 tonight, it'll be spot on, Bill.
Our friends at Chemist Warehouse.
Chemist Warehouse.
Used to look after us beautifully.
Yes.
Old Mario and everything. And I've noticed that's dried up a touch.
I gave Fev the same lesson a couple of years ago. And that particular aftershave, it's called Desire by Dunhill. And Fev tried it and didn't get the same result. his beautiful wife said, no, you stink.
Stink,
I don't like
off.
It. It does smell different, certain aftershaves, Bill, on different people.
So, it's not hard to put it on. You just whack it on.
There's certain areas that you've got to apply it.
That's it, Bill. Yeah. Listen,
you've got to send the scent out. To get the scent out, Bill.
Fair to say.
Have you ever worn it in your life?
No. All moisturiser. You've got me onto moisturiser, but I put it on like sunscreen.
Yeah, that's
I used to apply moisturiser after a game of footy, which is probably before my time. And I remember Mick Martin came up and said, what are you doing, Duck?
What did he say?
I said, I'm putting moisturiser on. He said, moisturiser? I said, moisturiser. He goes, moisturiser? And I said, don't worry, Mick, it's not going to do you anything.
Too late, Mick.
Mick's ship had sailed.
Yes.
On that front.
Now, what did you do last night? Talking footy. You said that Tex Walker had to have a good look at himself and have a big, big preseason.
Yeah, he's got to have a big preseason. He's had a real flat year for mine. Had a flat year last year, but he had excuses last year.
Injuries, yeah.
Did a big preseason this year, and he's been up and down. So he's won. By the way, there's plenty at that footy club that have to have a good look at themselves and decide whether, you know, they want to play finals footy and where this footy club wants to go. He is the captain of that club.
He is.
And it was only 2 years ago, Bill, 2 years in a row, he was voted by his peers as the best captain in the competition. Mm. So fair drop-off for Tex, and I like him.
Yep.
And I think at his best, he obviously clearly makes that team a lot better, and he's better than what he's playing. So he's one that just I think, have a good look.
I think that whole state's AFL setup needs to have a good look, to be brutally honest. Mm. Adelaide, we've discussed, but Port Adelaide,
too. Who would you rather be, though? Who would you rather be right now, JB?
Port.
I'd rather be Port.
Yeah, probably, but I think we cut them a bit more slack than they deserve on the back of this year. Yeah, they were right in the hunt to be in that 6th, 7th, 8th position and have fallen away badly.
They did play a lot of kids. They had a lot of first-year players, a lot of debutants that stood up, looked like they've got a real future, whereas on the other hand, Adelaide haven't produced too much. And the problem, Port Adelaide don't have people just after 2 or 3 years saying, I want out. They re-sign. Adelaide, there's clearly something going on in regards to their environment. I don't like to use the word culture. It's just an easy word to use. But they've got an environment there that people don't want to be at, Bill.
And that's a concern. We've spoken about this all year, haven't we?
And you especially, Bill, are the racing person in this conversation, but I like the next day after the Melbourne Cup when you read the jockeys.
Yes.
I like the ones that go perfectly set up 400 from home and didn't have the run. Yeah.
Did everything possible.
I hate the excuses. Yes. Oh, I got clipped here. Yeah. I got something coming
across.
Couldn't get
a run.
Hey, it's garbage. Yep. And those two clubs for me, Duck, 6 weeks out, were both beautifully positioned to play finals footy, and they've both fallen away horribly. And so the bloody spotlight should go on.
Is that the coaches too?
The amazing thing about Adelaide, let go right back to when they were favourites in the 17 grand final. Mm. They have won 50% of their games since then, Bill. Just 50%.
Only 50.
50% since they lost the 2017 grand final.
So not surprising they're doing a full review. I saw a chappy who's a bloody good, been a very good chairman of that club, saying we need from top to bottom to work out what's going wrong.
And
Port
they
should be doing the same thing.
Does the coach say?
When they say top to bottom, well, I think from what they're saying, Bill, every single person's going to be looked at. And I think it'll go right back and we don't want to say it. Well, so he'll be looked at.
No, I said, does he stay?
Oh, does he stay?
Yeah.
I think he does stay, but it'll be seriously looked at. What you've got to remember, he's got 2 years to run, Bill, not just one. But I think that he'll be safe, but there'll be others around him, plenty of others around him that might fall.
Righto. You also said last night that Patrick Cripps is the best player in the comp. You haven't seen a bloke wearing 35 down at Geelong?
Yeah, he's pretty good too, Bill. There's a bloke at Richmond that wears number 4 that's pretty good as well. And there's a bloke
who wears number 7 at Frio.
There's a bloke, what number does Bonampelli wear?
Four.
Mm-hmm. He goes all right as well.
What number's Lachie Neal?
Lachie Neal, good question. 9?
Yeah.
I've got a question for you, Duck. We were talking about the NAB Rising Star in the meeting earlier.
Yes, we were.
And I think Rabs or Bill correctly said that Sam Walsh, for the NAB Rising Star Award, and he would richly deserve it were he to get it. I said, this interests me more. If we're picking the old basketball team, backs to the wall in the gym, and you've got first and second pick of the NAB Rising Star nominees for this year.
Yep.
I said he's coming in third.
I know number one straight away for me.
Who?
Nick Blakey.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, I didn't have Nick Blakey at one or two. I had Connor Rosie first and Ben King second.
Okay.
And then I was going Walsh and then Blakey.
I would have Nick Blakey. I'd have Rosie.
Yep.
And then Walsh and continue on.
And Connor Rosie won the goal kicking for Port Adelaide.
Oh, Bill.
It's a good effort, isn't it?
Nuts
Nick Blakey, in 4 years, we could be sitting here saying Nick Blakey's the best player in the competition.
But in 4 years, we're saying Sam Walsh is still a very good player.
Sam Walsh is a 200-game player. Yeah. You're going to just get consistency from him. I think what I love about Rosie, and obviously you're
he'll
the same
be a leader,
team,
Sam Walsh.
Rosie's got that X factor.
Oh, yeah.
Rosie, in the space of 10 minutes, can
take
a game that is looks like you're out of it, Bill, to winning it.
All right, we need to get to a break because I think you've got a question for the great man next. What is it?
All Australian. Who missed out?
Oh, who missed out?
Well, what do you mean who missed? We don't even know the All Australian.
The squad.
This squad.
Not a great
question.
Thought
you were going down the spine angle, Bill.
Let's talk about
it. Let's do that again.
The Duck.
Bill, have another go at the question you're going
to
ask.
Well, the All-Australian squad is out, which is fantastic to make, by the way. That shows you how good a season you've had.
Duck. Squad.
There's only 40 picked in the squad.
You know what? I reckon this squad's a load of crap, Bill. I don't like it. I think they just set themselves up for more people to have a crack at who didn't and who should have made the squad. why do we have a squad? Why is it so? At the end of your career, you say, you know what? I made four All Australian squads.
Duck,
I never made the team, but I made four All Australian squads.
Good you point. Didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, well,
no. But other blokes
I
do.
Did. Exactly. Right. Like, in
so
my
a
career,
squad position for some blokes is a pretty good effort.
You've been in club land, you know, recently, not all that long ago.
Seven.
Surely managers don't go in and say to the clubs, oh, well, we made the squad.
Yeah. When I get introduced now at its 40s, Billy Brownless made the All-Australian squad twice.
they didn't have squads back then. They've only had squads for the last six, seven years.
Spine. Just the spine of the All-Australian team, not the squad.
Well, you've put me on the spot.
Yeah. I'll
say Harris Andrews for Brisbane.
Very good.
Fullback. Right.
The fact that teams plan around this guy, and when they plan well, they can beat them. Yeah. That's Jeremy McGovern at centre-half back.
I think
Cripps in the middle.
Oh, Cripper.
Best player
Cripps
in the
middle. I've gone, and this man should have made it last year, because of not just kicking goals, Bill, but how he sets them up. I think Tom Hawkins is a key forward in this, should be in this year's All-Australian. He was unlucky last year.
Yep.
And the Coleman medalist, who led for nearly all the year, but missed some games, and then kicked nine against Gold Coast to end up invariably winning it in the end. But Jeremy Cameron.
What about Ben Brown, who won the, was going to win the Coleman? Very good player, Duck. Oh, you don't want him kicking more goals than you at North or something?
Well, no.
That's what this is about.
Oh, yeah.
Ben
is very good at, like I said, marking the ball at its highest point, and he's very good at going back and putting them through the big sticks.
Yes.
Doesn't do too much other than that, Bill. Mm. So I would have Jeremy Cameron ahead of him.
I argue
because he's a vegan.
Damo the other week.
You don't like vegans.
I prefer to eat meat, but that doesn't mean I don't like people that don't, Bill.
Well, I disagree.
I mounted this argument, Duck, with Damo the other day. And that is, it's harder to kick goals in a poor team. And he keeps doing it.
That's right.
And since his time, especially in the last 3 years, North have been well and truly in the bottom half of the ladder. Surely it's harder to kick 60 for North than it is for GWS or Geelong.
Well, if I was down there, if I was coaching Ben Brown and he was stronger in his body and he didn't flop as much as he did, and there were certain things, I reckon I could get another 25 out of him.
Oh, wow. Nice. Don't listen to the old coach
who
never turned up when he was at Collingwood. Now, we got some audio here, Duck. Oh. What happened here? And tell us who it was.
Someone's done a pop-off for me.
Oh, why?
What?
Did you? It was you, isn't it? You are the best.
Sending Swatter out on a real high, that is.
Now, who did the pop-off?
Who was responsible?
I'll tell you what, Rocket Eid is a grub.
Oh, not Rocket.
No.
He's a grub. Hey, Rocket. Rocket.
Can't be doing that.
What about at the start of the year, Rocket said to us, by the way, very good. Good year on Triple M, Rocket.
Hey, good numbers.
Sunday.
Good footy numbers.
Sunday footy. You know what? He came in at the start of the year and we're sort of welcoming him and everything. And he said, we said, geez, you're looking quite fit and everything else. He goes, I've got off the meat and I don't eat meat and all of this, and I've straightened my diet up and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And about 10 minutes later, he's holding into a sausage roll.
Oh, no. And so he lifted the cheek on the weekend and he's one out.
He did the pop-off.
He eats about four sausage rolls every Sunday, and he told us he didn't eat meat the first day on the job.
Vegans, man.
So you're 100% convinced it was him?
Two men wouldn't have the courage to do that.
No.
And he's sitting next
to
me.
You wouldn't do it.
And I believe Swatter learned his lesson from you and
Daz
or Sam a few years ago that stormed out of the box.
Howie could have. He's a father.
Yeah, no, Howie's too straight to do that.
Hey, what about Friday night, the EJ Witten's Legends game? You are coach of the All-Stars, of course. Well done.
And Derm's coach of the Vicks.
Himself.
I will say this, Bill, and it is a different format, but it'll be a lot of fun.
Yes. Amy Park.
The difference is this year, no disrespect to teams past years, but the teams this year, Bill, are absolute superstars. I think in my team there's four or five Brownlow medalists.
Wow. Akamanis, Rasciutto.
Akamanis, Rasciutto.
McLeod. Cooney.
Lee Never. He won Norm Smith's. Cooney did.
Wanganeen.
So there you go, Bill. So, and the Vicks are exactly the same.
Any fatties?
Jarman.
Well, my skipper is.
Jarman. Andrew Jarman.
I didn't, I'm not sure how he got skipper, but anyway, he is. I didn't vote on it.
He was great last year, Jars. He made the whole night.
Still got
he'll
the,
be, still had the juice.
He'll be good. He's an absolute star. Let's be honest. He never moved too far out of the centre square anyway. His hands, he was one of my heroes when I was in Adelaide because I played for the Roosters and he was in the seniors. And I remember I got to train with the Roosters one night. He slid on his back, Bill, for about 20 metres, caught the ball with one hand in the wet and then just gave a handball to Antrobus on the burst. And I just thought, wow, how good's this
The angry ant.
Yep.
I've got some coaching advice for you, Duck, with regard to Friday night.
Yes.
If you're thinking about isolating anyone deep forward,
yep,
make sure you isolate him on Campbell Brown. Yeah. Because last year, I reckon he had 14 goals kicked on him. Anyone who went anywhere near him kicked a goal.
So whoever he goes to, just isolate that
isolate
person.
Isolate whoever that is, and then you'll have success.
Well, I've got the great, he's kicked 800 goals. 800.
Richo?
Yes. He's,
how many points?
He wants to be isolated deep forward for a period.
Well, so he'll put Brownie on him.
He'll be up there. So I've got a lot of weapons.
Well, Cooney kicked 5 on the weekend. Yeah. He's still playing.
Acker's in there.
Good.
Yeah.
So, well, Duck, we can't wait. Of course, we're going to be there. And I think simulcast on Triple M.
Yes.
The EJ Witten Legends game. So we cannot wait for that. Great to see you.
No worries.
Now, Jimmy boy, I read this the other day with interest. When I get it up. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Tom
Morello, yes.
A guitarist.
A Rage Against the Machine. Also toured with Bruce Springsteen. I saw him do that. He's a legend, Tom
toured
Morello.
Toured with Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, so one of the boss's guitarists, that I know Stevie Van Zandt or the other bloke, the family will know. But anyway, had to go back to the States and do something. So Tom Morello got seconded in. He was brilliant, too.
Well, he has put out this on the socials, Jim.
Yep.
He was getting a cap today. And the
cappuccino.
And the barista says, "Did anyone ever tell you that you look like Tom Morello?" He said, "All the time, mate. I get it all the time." And the barista says, "I bet. I ordered my coffee." He says, "What's the name?" I say, "Tom." The barista goes, "Your name is Tom too. How good is that?"
Oh, no.
I'm like, yeah, crazy, mate, sure is, and walked away with me coffee. So it was Tom Morello.
That's it.
And the barista didn't think it was, and he's the same name.
He must have caught up later, though. That barista, I reckon, for the rest of the day must have been thinking, that was Tom Morello.
But that does happen, doesn't it?
Oh, Bill.
Out there.
It happened
to you.
It used to happen to me more than you'd think.
I'd love to
when
know
we were doing the footy show, people used to say to me, they'd look and you could see the confusion on their face, and they'd go, "Has anyone ever told you you look like the bloke off the footy show?" And I used to say the same thing. I'd go, "I actually get that a lot." I said, "But mate, please." I said, "I'm much better looking than you."
Yes.
And they'd have a bit of a sort of awkward chuckle.
Yeah.
But then they'd go, and I would say, "And a much better bloke."
Yeah. Yep.
And every time they would go, "Well, that wouldn't be hard." Every time.
Great. I love
just
that.
Walk
spot
off,
on.
Give it the, that didn't end as well. like if every now and then you cop that one, you'd chuckle. Bill, every time.
Every time.
That wouldn't be hard.
I can see that. I can see. Well, they go, "Geez, you look like Billy Brown." So I go, "Oh, he's fatter than me." And they look at me and go, "Yeah, I think he is." Because apparently I look skinnier in real life.
No, I don't reckon that. No.
But television does put weight on you.
Does it?
So, Rabsy, for Christ's sake, don't go on TV.
Stay on radio, Rabs. That's our strong suggestion.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And there's some nice feedback piling in here. I didn't realise this one, Fat, until today, that the banner that you or mob ran through on the weekend.
Geelong, yeah.
Let's scratch the Blues. Scratch spelt S-C-R-A-C-T-H. So you didn't even get close to getting it right.
Anyway, how do you spell scratch?
It's Carl Roberts down here giving it the, got Billy Brownless doing everything in time. Yes. Shawnee Phelan.
He's good, Sean.
We love him. One of our favourites.
Yep.
Hey, Jimmy boy, if Specsavers can offer leech glasses for life, surely they can spare a pair for Joel Buddy Wilson.
He needs a pair.
The umpy.
The umpire.
No doubt about that. And our Rishgoon. Another of our favourites. Because I did have to go and have a very minor procedure today. Have a tiny little cysty thing cut out of my ear.
Yeah. And what did he say?
Hey, topics brownless. How about, what have you had cut out of your ear?
Unusual, Jim.
Oh, nice. Our boy's nice. And Stu Alexander.
Yeah, Fat couldn't even make the squad for the best New South Wales players.
That is true. And that is true, Fat.
I did. But I made the squad for the All-Australian, Jim. I made the Australian 1 year.
I better say, you didn't have a squad in your day, but you made the team 1 year.
I think Teddy, the great late Ted Whitten, got me in because he used to commentate the Geelong games for yes. K-Rock down there, Jim.
And you turned on some of your best stuff for him.
On and off.
Speaking of bands,
yeah,
we got our man.
Shane Warne.
The king.
And he just put out this one. Congrats on amazing bowling spell to keep your team in the game, Ben Stokes. Then one of the best innings in the history of the game. Innings, Test cricket is the best, and I love it. So happy for you, mate. Well done. That's very nice from Warnie, but he's had a bit of other.
Yeah. Bance?
Yeah, well, Matt Prize tweeted just at Nathan Lyon with the eyes emoji, hashtag mother cricket, hashtag sleep well. Warnie didn't like it.
No.
And he said, excuse me, just because Lyon knocked you over for fun, there's still no need for that kind of silly and immature behaviour. Grow up.
Yep.
And enough of those stupid comments. Let's celebrate the wonderful game of Test cricket and the Ashes, please.
Yes.
Yep.
And then some other nipsies got involved called Chris Adams.
Chris Adams.
And he said, always been the case, replying to Matt Prize, having a go again at Nathan Lyon. Mm. And Warnie's given him, Chris, you are nothing but a club cricketer. So don't even bore us with your dribble, as no one is interested in what you and cares in what you have to say. Pipe down, mate.
Pipe down.
How good is Warnie on the cricket commentating?
No, he's brilliant. And what if Warnie calls you a clubby?
Yep.
You've just got to cop it. I'm sorry, Bill. There's actually nothing you can do in that scenario but just cop it.
What was the story you told yesterday about Warnie bowling to, just give me another?
Oh, Chris Cairns. Before we do that.
Well, he then doubled down and said, this is just ridiculous and childish from Matt Prior and club cricketer Adams.
Bang, again. Now, Warnie, what happened that story?
Apparently, now, obviously, it was a test match, so I wasn't there. But they're up in Brisbane.
Yes.
And Warnie had a long career of tangling with Chris Cairns very successfully, a bit like Nathan Lyon and Matt Prior.
Yes.
So he'd had a very good record against him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the game was, I'm pretty sure it was the Gabba, and Mark Taylor was the captain of Australia, and out comes Chris Cairns, and Warnie's bowling, obviously, so they're thinking things are going to go pretty well.
Yes.
Tub goes right. I want you in here at short leg. I want you, silly mid-off. I want you to come into a gully and all the rest of it. And apparently Warnie's wandered down the pitch with Chris Cairns obviously waiting to face his first ball.
Right there, yep.
And said, Tub, just leave it regulation for a couple of balls. I want to humiliate him.
No. And got him.
Well, apparently, as legend has it, he did that for a couple of overs and said, right now, I've had enough. Bring him in. 2 balls later.
Bang.
Out went poor old Cairns.
How good is that? Warnie.
Well, he could back it up, and that's the thing. If you've got that sort of ability, then you can say it, and you can then back it up fast.
Was he nearly captain of Australia?
Well, he did. He was captain of the one-day team for a while. But I think his after-hours work probably would mean that he wasn't going to be the test captain. Mm. And that's not criticism. It's just Warnie's hours were different. His mates, you know, he was mates with Bon Jovi. He used to get on private planes and fly to Austria for flights. And
great ideas and thinking.
Stuff. No, brilliant. Mm. But, you probably want your captain to be around a bit, but he could have done it on field unbelievably well because he was ahead of the game and he still is. That's why it makes him such a good commentator.
Great commentator.
As is Ricky Ponting, by the way. Both of the Aussies in this current test we just had, I thought, are brilliant.
You like the Pommies?
I like Mike Atherton.
Yeah.
I think he's good. I'm trying to think who else they've got on there. Strauss. We love beef. No, NASA. Strauss is not doing it.
NASA.
Yeah, they're all good. But I think the two Aussies, what they tell you why, Bill.
Yeah.
And that is the key to commentary. Why is something happening? And both of they are brilliant at it. So is our man, by the way, Grothy.
Hey. Oh, Sam Groth.
Yeah.
The big fella.
Big man. And he's coming in because the US Open's on. We want to know if Backyard Barty can go all the way. And also what we're going to see from our man, Nick Kyrgios.
Could be anything. Jim smashing rackets or anything. Could be anything.
All right, he's coming up in the next hour. Just about to chat to Sam Groth. Looking forward to that with the US Open underway, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bill.
Yes.
I see where Geelong coach, who I have enormous time for, by the way, Chris Scott, he's an absolute beauty, has been asked again about the finals and the placement of the games for the Cats.
When, today?
Yeah, on SEN. And he said, if someone asks the question, does the final series make sense? The answer's going to be, no, it doesn't.
Right.
It's wrong. And the AFL know it's wrong.
Mm. Wow.
We sit down, we talk about these things regularly. The club's position is we're not running away from this.
Mm. Yeah. He hasn't backed down on that, Jim. And I think
impossible, unless you're a fan of the clubs that play at the MCG.
Yeah.
Impossible to argue with him.
I know. But guess where the fixture is, Jim? And guess where they're going
to
play Friday week?
Get their head around
at the MCG. And I reckon if he keeps going on about it, the players start thinking about it and talking about it when he can't change it. So let's just look at the MCG in a couple of weeks and we're playing there. Okay.
Yes, Mark Ricciuto says he'll stand down if an external review finds he's the cause of the AFL club's problems.
Also at Melbourne, just in, Jim, breaking news, they have delisted Jeffy Garlett. Jeffy Garlett delisted and Declan Kelty. The boys have been delisted there at Melbourne. Also, do you know how the big netball game, Jim? This is a farce, this one, between the Vixens and the Magpies this Sunday.
Mm.
It's going to be played at the State Netball and Hockey Centre. Holds 3,000 people.
Why?
Because there's a Xbox games or whatever you call it, sports.
Xbox
e-sports.
Games.
E-sports games are on at the Melbourne Arena. Melbourne Arena holds 9,500.
9,500 all want to see the local derby.
Want to see the girls play.
Derby, depending on where you live.
Yeah, and they're playing at the State Netball Centre, which holds 3,000.
3,000.
So they're up in arms. They're not happy there. And, you know, Carl Chalmers,
yes,
the very good swimmer, Olympian.
His old man played for Port Adelaide.
Exactly. Has undergone his third heart surgery.
Jeez.
Third. It's not real serious. It just goes a bit quicker than it should, and he gets a bit dizzy, as I do. That wouldn't be great for him.
Bill.
Like your little ear.
You get dizzy for different reasons. Got nothing to do with your heart.
I was dizzy yesterday, Jim.
Yeah, and even dizzier Saturday night.
Then Sunday, Jim. Gary able to play next year?
Yep. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I got asthma.
What about...
That's when you get dizzy.
You play again, Rabs. I'll punch you in that fat head.
I got asthma.
Paddy Ryder's coming back to Melbourne. Yeah, it looks like he might go to Essendon.
Back to the Bombers.
Who goes back to the Bombers?
Isn't that amazing? What's a two-year deal?
Two-year deal. Paddy?
What about the way this is all going to start winding up? Now that 10 teams are out of it, trade, he's going here. And you know what I love?
What do you love?
People who come up to you on the street and go, mate, I'm telling you. I know someone at Essendon.
It's done.
He's done. He's going back there 2 years. I know someone.
Yes. You'd love to pull him up when you're a month later and say, mate, you're wrong.
What happened to that? Yeah. Bill, I used to get...
I think it's more the pig variety.
That's it. I used to get, when I was chairman of North Melbourne, people coming up to me, go, oh, mate, I'm telling you.
I
would say to them, I reckon I've got half an idea.
You know.
No, mate. I'm telling you.
It is done.
In the end, you just got to have a chuckle and walk on.
But all those rumours, too, about just fly around about players and all
it's
that.
It's nuts. Hey, Sam Groff, I can see the big man wandering in. Mm. And we need to talk tennis because the US Open.
Yes.
Our girl backyard party had to work hard to get through.
And you've seen this morning, Jim, playing golf.
Ooh.
When maybe he should have been at hospital visiting his wife.
Oh, well, maybe we'll get to the bottom of that as well.
I got asthma. I got asthma. I got asthma.
Get that bug.
I got asthma. I got asthma.
Goodness me. Look at that. Look at that. 147 miles an hour. It went right through Federer. It was right through his racket.
Hey, Bill, not only the fastest serve ever recorded, but also took a set off the great man centre court at Wimbledon, Sam Groff.
Did you?
Well, one set, mate. It's not best of one set, unfortunately.
Groffy, don't worry about that.
No.
It was already two sets down when that happened as well.
Groffy, don't worry about that either. For the rest of your life, you can walk into any place you like and say, how many people do you have?
You can't
took a set off Federer, centre court at Wimbledon.
Yeah, I live on that.
I don't know if you can say that. And I've got the fastest serve.
I had a good innings as that day.
You could walk in anywhere and say that, Groffy, and no one will have done it.
That's true.
No. So it's nice.
Bugger off.
Unless
now
Nadal or someone sitting around there.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe
Rafa sitting next to him.
If you know Rafa's in there, you keep that one to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But how many times is that going to happen? Hey, you're a massive Swans man, and Kieran Jack. Well, quite a few of your mates actually bowed out. That would have been an emotional day.
Yeah, it certainly was. Obviously, you know, stalwarts of the club, four guys getting rid of a lot of games there, a lot of premierships, and you know, Nick Smith spent a bit of time with him a couple of weekends ago, and obviously, Jared McVeigh, but, you know, great day for the Swans. Obviously, not the best season, but a good way to go out for 2019. And obviously now we've got all those guys leaving, a bit of a chance to bring in some fresh blood.
Some good stuff in the trade period. What do you do at the Swans?
What do?
Yeah.
I turn around and turn up and drink their beers and wander around like I should be there, mate.
Yeah, I heard you, Melbourne, kicked you out there for their club. <didn't> I just heard that on the grapevine. It just come through on my phone, Jim, that he wasn't supposed to go in there and he did.
Groffy will learn the hard way that you don't ever say anything off the air where Fat's anywhere near
no.
us. He is the worst I've ever known come in, at keeping anything to himself.
I've come in, I've told you like two things off the air.
He's gone with both of them.
Yeah, done, straight away.
But officially, and then they get Sydney or just...
No, I'm an ambassador, but that's, you know, a bit of nothing. I just sort of wander around and turn up to a few things and speak at a couple of their chairman's functions. And
yeah, good.
Yeah.
Who's the best tennis player there then?
They're all pretty average.
Yeah?
No, I had a hit with them one off season, maybe two or three years ago.
Yeah.
And they never asked me to come back and have a hit again because all the boys were ducking and diving for cover. And I know Dean Towers at the time turned up with his own racket because he thought he was a bit of a tennis player. And I tell you what, once the boys got wind that he thought he was a bit of all right and he got there and he had no idea what he was doing, he never lived that one down. So
Now, Grothy, your beautiful better half had dinged herself and had to have a very minor procedure to get it right.
Yeah.
And you'd think at that stage, Bill, that you'd, as the husband, you'd wander into hospital just to make sure everything's all right.
I was there yesterday when she came out of recovery. I was sitting in the waiting room for 5 hours being very, very patient.
Just got to check on him. And today you would have gone back to see her.
Sure no, she was all right. This morning I organised for her mother to be there.
Oh, why?
This morning when she woke up. So I thought 10 o'clock, she's going to be a bit tired, obviously, through the night and a few painkillers.
For her mother.
Kept getting a few messages. No, I wasn't responding. Eventually she calls me and she goes, "Why aren't you responding?" She said, "You're on the golf course, aren't you?" Done, stitched, full stitch up. I was supposed to be there making sure she was all right, but I was teeing off on about the third hole by about that
beautiful
stage.
Beautiful day for it too. Did you pick it up, Grothy, please?
Yeah, where?
At Commonwealth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Have you been in since or after this?
No, I have. I came in right before this and I'm heading back straight after. Nice. So she might be ready to go home. So she's not too bad. She'll be all right.
Good work. She won't be able to fit in the car. The sticks are there.
No, she can sit in the back seat next to the golf
US
clubs.
Open, when did that start? Last night. Yeah.
Yep.
And
so, last Grand Slam of the year.
Our girl had to work hard to get through the first round. What's happened since that incredible French Open win for her?
Yeah, I mean... Obviously, the grass court season, she had that win right before Wimbledon, got herself to number one. Has struggled probably a little bit through this hard court swing. Didn't do great up in Canada. Made a semi in Cincinnati. Had to struggle through this first round. But, you know, in the end, you got to get through these tough matches. Nice to get one early. I think, you know, get rid of a few of those nerves and start to build a little bit of confidence. But, you know, the girl, Zarania Diaz, that she played, she pushed Simona Halep all the way a couple of years ago at the Australian Open. She's a good player. But Ash is going to have to definitely step it up a little bit if she wants to be there contending in a couple of weeks' time.
Grothy, you can write in the back of a postage stamp what I know about tennis, but is there anything in this? Leighton Hewitt was an incredible tennis player.
Yes.
But had to work very hard to win his matches.
Yes.
Is there a bit of that in backyard? Is she that one sort of weapon that just finishes points off easily?
Yeah, I think if you look at Ash, she's got a very all-round game. You know, the slice backhand can move forward, serves well, but she's 5'6".
Yep.
Mm.
Whatever she sits at. So she's not going to blow her opponents away where someone like a Serena at her peak, if you matched up peak Serena against peak Ash, yes, you're going to get a great match. But Serena has that ability to, you know, blow her opponents away.
Yeah.
You know, step up, put the foot on the gas, and just take the match away from her opponents. And Ash at this stage, probably as good as she is, obviously getting to world number two right now, could be world number one in a couple of weeks' time if results go the right way. But yeah, she just doesn't quite have that firepower, but it's a little bit how she's built as well.
Mm. So, Bill, that's actually a very perspicacious observation from me.
Yep.
Perspicacious,
which is good. but having said all that, and perspicacious, there's not many girls that are flying either at the minute because there's number one every week virtually in the girls, isn't there?
Yeah, it's been changing a little bit. Obviously, Naomi Osaka's held that position for a little bit. Ash dropped in there for... 6 or 7 weeks, and Osaka's back there again now, but she's defending a win this week, and it's very, unlike the men's tour where you got Nadal, Federer, Djokovic has just been dominating for the last 400 years, it feels like.
Yeah, it does.
My whole career, they dominated, and I'm retired, and they're still dominating. Mm. On the women's side, you sort of throw a blanket over it. Simona Halep's won a couple of slams now, Petra Kvitova, Caroline Wozniacki, Osaka, Serena Williams, you know, there's a lot of girls there, a lot of women there that could come out and win the US Open.
It is a brutal game, tennis.
It is.
You're just one on one and
nowhere to hide.
Round one, you can come up against the second ranked player in the world. Best of luck.
You could, and you look at Johnny Millman last year flying at US Open. I remember coming in here on a Saturday morning and he's just knocked out Roger Federer. And this year he turns around. And the thing you got to remember, you got all those points to.
Yep. defend
from last year and probably been struggling a little bit. And you think coming into the US Open, if he gets a decent draw, you know, confidence coming back there after last year, he can do all right. And then the draw comes out and you draw Rafael Nadal and you just go,
what the hell?
thanks a lot.
The old mailman. All right, we need to get to a break. We're going to find out what's going on with Nick Kyrgios next because our man caught up with him.
He did. Mm. Oh. Not for long.
All right. Bill, you don't have to give away the whole... having, he could have partied with him all night and people will hang on and listen.
Having a ready insight into an understanding of things.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what's that? Periscope.
Sam Groff in the studio.
We can't talk tennis for too long without getting to Nick Kyrgios, yes. Of course, who won in Cincinnati. Winning's winning.
He won in Washington.
Sorry, Washington, yep.
Yeah, had a meltdown.
And that Cincinnati's where he had the meltdown, yeah, yeah, right, okay. But winning's, so let's acknowledge the Washington. Anytime it's, you win a tournament.
Mate, it was a great week.
Yeah.
And I actually caught up with him in Washington the day before that tournament started, and you could just tell he was going to have a good week.
Good. How did you know that? Did you?
Well, you can just see he's happy. So he'd had a break. He'd had a break after Wimbledon. He'd taken time away. And it's almost like you can, if you're close enough, you can sort of predict it.
Yeah.
You can see he comes in. He has a bit of a break. He's been away from the tour, out of the limelight, just doing his own thing, trains a little bit. I don't know how much he trains. He always tells he doesn't train that much. I think he actually trains a little bit more than we think. Right. You can't be that good if you're not training at all.
Yep. But what's he like? Is he a dick or is he is he a good bloke?
He's always great. I've spent time around him in Davis Cup and stuff. He's definitely got that air of confidence about him.
Good. That's fine.
But, you know, obviously, as we all see, he has a tendency to lose the plot a little bit.
Yeah. So, Groffy, if you're playing against him.
Yes.
And it's a final of an ATP tournament and he goes up to people in the crowd and asks them what sort of serve you should do.
Yes.
Would you be accepting of that or would that annoy you?
No. If it would probably annoy me if I was losing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, people forget. I mean, this is the whole thing with Nick. This is an entertainment business. People forget it. You know, so we all would love to play sport just for the, you know, mateship and shake hands at the end of the day. But it's big money, and he puts bums on seats. And whether you like him or you don't like him, I don't agree with the way he behaves all the time. But people go to watch him, and in the end, that's what it is. It's an entertainment sport.
My kids love him.
Yeah, but he's a super,
love him.
He can beat anyone on his day, can he?
He's got a winning record against Novak Djokovic. Yeah. He's almost unbeatable.
Mm. And what about the old underhanded serve action? Do you like that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. mate, I played Rafa at the French Open, absolute beatdown. He was that far back, I had to get binoculars out to see him.
Mm.
But if I actually had any sort of feel and could use the underhand serve, it would have served me well.
Well, you would have done it?
Yeah, well, I can't do it, mate. I'm useless. But,
Did you have trouble with umpires? One's your games you lost, probably. But did you?
We've all had run-ins with umpires. I've never spat at one or thrown a water bottle at them.
No, but and even Serena, she doesn't.
No.
I'd be careful
talking about Serena. Every time I talk about Serena, I start getting so much backlash. People come after me.
All right. But she did have a meltdown. With
I don't care. I'm happy to do it.
One particular umpire.
Yeah, this time last year, US Open. So he's not going to do any of her matches again this year.
What? So they've said?
They've said, no, there's no point causing that little bit of extra controversy.
But, Groffy, the big players use it to their advantage. Don't they intimidate the umpires?
Mm. You try to. I mean, in the end, you've got to hit the ball in the court more times than the other bloke.
True, but I mean, going back to Johnny Mack, they had a hold on the umpires and lots of them were terrified.
Yeah, and it was different. No Hawkeye, no replays and stuff like that back then. This is the thing. Everyone loved watching Johnny Mack and he won tennis matches. This is why everyone loves watching Nick when he wins tennis matches. Just Johnny Mack won a lot more of them.
Yeah. What I used to love about Johnny Mack is if there was a serve that was in and called out, he would hit the next one into the stand.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't he? Because just to humiliate the ump, he'd go, mate, you're that blind. That was in, you called it out. So the next one, he just pounded up into the... Like, he just had complete disregard.
Yeah. And he still does. He just says and does what he wants, mate.
Good on him.
Do you see him around? Because you do a lot of commentary.
Yeah, he worked beside us at Channel 9 this year.
Loved it.
Yeah, he's an interesting character. I remember first day I worked with him, I was doing courtside, so I'd been doing stuff with Jim Courier most of the week, and then I ran into John. I said, John, I'm going to be down the courtside reporting, you know, when for the match tonight with you and Todd. And he goes, less is more, I won't be coming to you. Kept walking.
Good. Thanks for that.
All right, see you tonight, mate.
Speaking of Channel 9, they tell me in there at 9, there's a tennis show going to be happening over summer.
Yes, we don't. It's a bit of a work in progress at the moment, so it will start going to air in October. Not too much info
tell
out
me
about
in there at God, 9. Do they do
in the corridors? In the corridors. It's going to be called.
Doesn't have a name.
The tennis show.
Oh,
well, you're doing postcards.
So I am doing postcards.
You're on the books there at 9.
Yep.
How's that going? Enjoying
it? Yeah, I am enjoying it. So obviously all the wide world of sports stuff, obviously all the tennis here in Australia.
Yeah.
Fed Cup final coming up in November. Yeah,
Tony Jones.
Which will be
gonna,
a big one.
Tony Jones going to do the tennis. And
yeah, I tried to get TJ out to have a hit, but after his effort with the footy, he wasn't coming anywhere near a tennis court.
Well, the Fed Cup final is a big thing.
It certainly is. Yeah,
we need to acknowledge how big that is.
Huge for Australia. So hosting over in Perth in November.
I tell you what, looking at that, I've had a look at that forward look at it. I'm worried about our girls because there's Ash Barty, who's a superstar. God. But then underneath
her. It's embarrassing, Brothy, isn't it?
It's out of control. Underneath her, Sam, I am really worried about our Aussie girls. Who have we got?
It's concerning.
It is.
It is.
This bloke. So who else is worrying you, Bill? Let's get Bill to run him down.
Sam Stozer, but she's nearly done. Like, she's been great for our country.
She won't be in the FedEx Cup
final. I wouldn't put her in.
Think. So who? And who then else is worrying you?
And then we got some other young girls there.
Yeah, that, which ones?
Astra Sharma. Yes?
Yep.
That's good. Well done, Bill. Also, Priscilla Hohn.
Priscilla Hohn.
Yeah, Hohn, yes. Yep.
We're talking about the Fed Cup final players, Bill.
But that's what I'm worried about.
The problem is, Stozer, she hasn't been playing that well. She played in the semi-final. She'll play doubles beside Ash, but their second single spot is a tough one right now. Gavrilova struggling, Sam struggling, Priscilla Hines probably not quite there to play singles
don't
yet.
Think so yet.
No. Yeah, you're spot on, Bill.
Tom
Ljanovic is not eligible to compete for Australia.
Yep.
She plays for Australia week in, week out, but there's a bit of a law with the ITF there where she played for... Croatia when she was younger.
What about Abia?
Destiny Ayava?
Destiny.
No, mate, she won't be there.
She won't be there. Well, that's the problem,
Why don't you ask him about Yvonne Goolagong?
Alicia Molik?
Murray Court lives in Perth. She might get a run.
But that is a worry. It's concerning, isn't it?
Liz Smiley?
No, it is.
Liz Smiley.
No, coming into a Fed Cup final, you just love, other than Ash, the girls performing a little bit better, but... A lot of time between now and November.
It's a worry, Jim. I'm telling you.
Oh, of course it is, Bill. Yeah. Go and look after your beautiful better half, please, Grothy. Yes. And better than just going out and playing golf while she's recuperating.
Yeah. No, 8:30 tea time tomorrow. Drop her off at home. She'll be fine.
Good boy.
Good to see you, mate. Thanks, guys.
Time to connect, Jimmy, with the Rush Hour family. Cumes are up, so that's good. They are. Very good today, the Cumes.
Cumes are good for you, Bill, yep.
The Rush Hour family, 133359.
No.
Deliberately did that, Bill, just to be an idiot.
133353, of course, is the number there.
Look on his face.
And we're asking, what parents got to be kidding, but I'm going to give you a background story to this, okay, no. Jim? So.
What the hell?
The Melbourne Rebels, Jim, have named their latest recruit. And he's gone on to say, I couldn't be happier returning to Melbourne.
Right.
My first rep honours came with an underage Victorian state team.
Yes.
So it is now great to get the chance to return to Melbourne.
Play for the Rebels.
That's right. The former Brighton Grammar.
A Brighton Grammarian.
Yes. And Moorabbin Ram star cut his teeth in the junior Victorian rugby ranks before studies took him to Sydney,
Jim. Nice to have him back.
So guess what, Jim?
What?
The name of the Melbourne Rebels' newest recruit this year
is
Harry Potter.
No.
Harry Potter, Jim,
Bill,
is his
he's
name.
Not called Harry
it
Potter.
It is. Look, you idiot.
Bill Fat, that is not his name.
Signed, Harry Potter. No. Jim,
you're accurate then. His parents had to be kidding him.
That's right. So that is the question. Hence, 133353.
Hence.
Parents have got to be kidding. How do you name your kid Harry Potter?
I know. No,
so ring now.
What are you giving away, Rob J?
We are giving away a Gurney high pressure washer. That is a great gift for Dad. Father's Day this weekend as well. They are available at Bunnings Warehouse if you want one.
Go and buy one.
I'm actually not wanting to purchase one.
We're also giving away a double pass for Up Close with Robert Whittaker, the UFC middleweight champion, Robert Whittaker, and a $100 Village Bell voucher. We were there the other week. Sensational.
Oh, beautiful there. That is a great spot.
Great spot. We had a great night there. Hey, Bill.
Yes.
The parents of that young man had to be kidding themselves. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
All right. So give us an example of a set of parents that had to be kidding themselves with the name of their kid. Talking about a man called Harry Potter.
That's it. Playing for the Rebels, Jim.
You cannot believe that the parents would have thought, you know what? Our surname's Potter.
Yep.
Let's call our young bloke Harry.
Surely Mr. or Mrs. Potter. One of them says no.
Oh, well, you would have thought, Bill.
Was that Harry Potter?
The music from. Patrick Blackburn, Bill. Gets us underway.
Hello, Patty boy.
Oh, Big Billy.
What do you got?
Jim.
Yep.
My uncle's name is Lachlan McLaughlin.
No. Where are their parents at, Paddy?
Well, his mum's name was Mavanui, so I don't know.
Lachlan?
It runs in the family. And he used to know a waiter at the palace in London, and the Queen heard that his name was some silly duffer's name, was Lachlan McLaughlin, and wanted to meet him. And he tells me the story every time I meet him. Every time I see him, I met the Queen.
He met the Queen. That's good.
Steve's in Janjukville.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Hello, Stephen.
How are you, Billy? How are you, mate?
Good, mate. What do you got for us?
Mate's missus used to work in daycare, and they've got a kid in there called Absidy. A-B-C-D-E.
No.
Yes, Jim.
Absidy. Yep.
I've heard this story in Geelong. It's a big story in Geelong, this one.
Can't be right.
A-B-C-D-E. Absidy. Oh,
stay there, Stevie.
That's
Dan in Clyde North. Hello, Dan.
G'day, boys. So I grew up in Yarra Junction, and the bloke I used to know, his name was Jack, but his last name was Russell.
Yeah, the wicketkeeper of England. Remember Jack him, Jack Russell?
Yeah.
Used to face the wrong way. That is, again, you just got to say, what are you doing?
Had to keep him on a lead.
Dan, thank you, Bill. Dylan in Sunbury. Bill. Hello, Dil.
Dilza.
Hello, boys.
Hey, Dilza.
My old man's sister called her kid Egbert.
What?
Yeah, Egbert. Kind of checks out. They're from Tassie, but, you know.
So your sister?
No, my old man's sister.
Called her, what? He's Egg and then Bert.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, Bill.
Well, it's an old English
name.
That's
the story.
Yeah.
Eggsy.
Well, Eggsy.
Out of Kingsman. Yeah, that's it.
He's good, Eggsy.
Rocky in Reservoir. Hello, Rock.
Oh, Rocky.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hello, Rocky.
When we were younger, I used to play a guy across the road. His name was Ronald McDonald.
No, big Ronnie.
Ronald McDonald.
Have red hair?
No. He's actually an Islander.
Even. Oh, there you go. All right. Donald McDonald is half strange.
Big chinner. We had him on the rub a couple of weeks ago. Yep. Dale, Taylor's Hill. Hello, mate.
How are we, gents?
Hey, Daly.
How are we?
Good, mate.
I used to competitively swim with someone named Richard Brain. Dick Brain.
No. Richard. What would that be, Jim?
Yeah, that's it. No, he already went with it, Dale. He said Dick Brain.
Oh, did
Dick
he?
Dick Brain. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thank
that.
You.
So he didn't need us to do it because he did it himself. Shane in Craigieburn, Bill.
Shane is a strange name.
How are we, boys?
Good, Shane. What do you got?
I used to go to school with a girl named Misty Knight.
Misty Knight.
Yes, a Misty Knight.
Of course, the famous American gymnast.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we won't go there, Bill. Jarvis Samarabin. Hello, Jarvis.
Jarvis is strange. It's a strange name a bit, isn't it,
We're
Jarvis?
What about the parents have got to be kidding themselves, Jarvis? What do you got?
I went to school with a bloke named Jack, and his last name was Daniels.
Oh.
And his middle name was Whiskey.
Give us a spell, Jarvis.
No, really. He's buddy down at St. Joseph's College in Furniture Gully.
Jack.
So,
Whiskey.
Jack.
Jack what? Whiskey Daniels.
I wonder what Mum or Dad used to drink.
Jonathan in Oakley South. Jonathan.
Hi, fellas.
What do you got for us?
Grew up with a boy whose last name was Pullen.
Yep.
And this is my juvenile teenage mind thinking at the time. Yep. They called him Steel.
Still pulling.
Still pulling.
Still pulling.
Yeah.
Didn't he grow up to become a snowboarder up there in Bullock? Changed his name to Chumpy?
I
like it, mate. Stay right there. Still Bart pulling, in Werribeeville.
Bart! I reckon he made that up too. Bart.
Anyway, I went to school with a guy called Robert Robinson.
Robinson.
What are you doing, Mum and Dad? Mitchell Moravin. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
My auntie's maiden name is Joe Kerr, and she married my uncle to become Joe King.
No.
Oh, she's gone from the Joe Kerr to the Joe King.
Exactly, Bill.
That's it, Bill. Bill just explains them, doesn't he? People ring us with a story.
Repeats it.
And then Bill repeats the story.
People like Jill out there.
Oh.
They sit there and go, what was it? Like, what does it mean?
Oh, Luke in Torquay. Luke.
Luke.
Hey, how you going there, fellas?
Yeah, good, Lukey.
He's a burp out there, Luke.
Sorry, how are you?
Yeah, good.
What happened?
Hey, I'm a teacher, and I see these all the time, so I've got I've taught a Britney Spears, a Brad Pitt, and a Michael Long, and he was real pasty with freckles, so...
Brad Pitt.
I see plenty of... funny names that parents haven't put much thought into.
I reckon. Thanks, Luke. So I reckon there was a boxer called
very
Brad
good
Pitt,
heavyweight.
Yeah, exactly.
Heavyweight. Big Brad Pitt.
Dave in Geelong, Bill.
I reckon we saw him that day. We went to the boxing gym when we had the head down all night.
We did.
Yeah, gangsters walking
around us taking some heat.
Was there what?
I stood up to him.
Oh, Jim had the head down the whole night.
I said, bring it, you blokes.
Dave, what do you got, Dave?
Yeah, I remember reading about a couple. Their surname was Peacock, and they had a baby boy, and they named him Drew.
Drew Peacock?
Yeah, say it again.
Drew Peacock?
Yeah.
What is it?
Don't worry about it. What's the other one you got?
What's Drew
Peacock? And then
look at a Muttley.
And then there was Gary Neville, the Man United footballer. Yes. His dad was Neville.
Neville.
I actually have heard that. Neville.
No, and the
Neville
sister.
Neville and Droopy Cock.
Well, the sister's name. Droopy Peacock.
Droopy Cock, Bill. That's the one.
I just got what Droopy.
You did? Yeah.
Droopy Cock.
And Neville Neville and his daughter coached the England netball team in the World Cup.
I think just a sort of fact that we didn't probably really need to know at the back end of it.
Well, a lot there.
Who have you liked?
I think that's the best topic we've had, Jim.
I don't think so, but we're down a gurney.
I liked Lachlan McLaughlin.
Yeah, Lachlan
Which was nearly our first one, I think.
That's good. Righto.
Patrick.
Enjoy that.
Paddy, you can get a Gurney High Pressure Washer or a Double Passed Up Close with Robert Whittaker or a $100 Village Bell voucher.
Robert Whittaker, if I can, please.
No worries. I like Luke from Torquay.
Righto.
He taught a Michael Long who was redhead and pasty.
Yes.
So, Luke.
Yeah, how are you, mate?
You got a Gurney High Pressure Washer, mate. They're a perfect Father's Day gift.
That was coming in my car.
Is a couple.
Perfect.
You can grab them at Bunnings Warehouse. Yeah, I keep telling you.
I'm not interested.
Jim Cavill coming through on the phone.
I go on, Bill.
The apparently this is from my mate Sire. The doctor of the Australian cricket team is Richard Saw.
Oh,
you know that?
Richard Saw.
Yeah. That's from Adrian. And then they're up in the Mallee, apparently there's Edna and Nora Bone. There is Jim.
Mitch from Moorabbin wins. Joe Kerr and became Joe King.
King, yeah, that was good.
You can head along to the Village Bell in St Kilda. $100 voucher. It is awesome there.
That was from.
All right, sounds good, boys.
Beautiful there, Mitch. You'll love it. It's really good. The food's fantastic. Nice. I had a part of beautiful chicken parmigiana.
You always have parmesan.
Oh, Bill. Not as good as a pub. A parma's a good thing to eat.
Where's the best chicken parma you had? Where?
The Village Bell.
Where else?
Beautiful.
Where else, Fool's Head?
It was a good one down there at the Cremorne. Oh, and tomorrow, a midweek rub style, Nath Brown in, Damien Barrett in, and there's just starting to be some whispering around player movement, Fat.
There is a lot, Jim.
When player movement is whispered about, Damien Barrett is the best in the business. Gets it right every time.
Every time. You're spot on there. So there was a bit going on, Jimmy boy. A lot of blokes are getting delisted, of course. From Melbourne was Jeffy Garlett and Declan Kelty. They've been delisted. And Mel at Essendon, Jim, Mark Bagley. You know him?
Yes, of course I do.
134 games. Baggers, good on you.
Very, very good player.
And he's a plumber from Frankston, Jim.
Yeah, how would you sort of explain to someone how that was handled?
Poor.
Well, I was looking for,
if I had one word, to be poor.
Poor. Yeah. Jack Martin was the one I was looking for, Jim. Six clubs are chasing him. Yeah. Six clubs chasing him.
Well, let's hope the joke's better than that.
Probably not, Jim.
In the day with a laugh, this is Billy's joke.
All jokes aside, if you're digging for a living, you won't dig up a better Kubota finance offer on excavators up to 3.5 tonne at supergroups.com.au.
Supergroups. How good.
Must have better broadcasting.
You got that audio of Jim and I?
Which one? Oh, yeah.
Have a listen.
What happened to that? Yeah. Babe. Bill.
Babe.
I used to.
I know you like Jim.
Also got this audio, though.
But hello to you, Bill.
Hey, g'day, Jim.
Bill, Jim. We want the joke out of you.
You call me Babe.
And we want it to be funny.
It will be.
Come on.
Jim, you won't believe this, but I recently joined the nudist colony.
Did you?
Yeah. The first week was the hardest.
Oh, my goodness.
Abraham likes it. Abraham's coming. Hey, not bad. You like that, Mickey?
Thank you. Good night. I'll be here on Thursday. I do like it.
Thank you.
I don't believe it, but I like it. Well done, Billy.
Had to get through that first week.
Well, a couple of the green ones get you going.
Mick would know about them too.
Oh, that's it. You two, see me in my office.
Have a good show. Wow. Still, you like that one, Avery? Woo!
génération de 120 et du paillasson. Limer, ruiner, vider, combler. You are the king of the divan. Qu'elle me dit en passant.